In a world where technology has brought order and awakened chaos, three men have embraced their destiny to slay the technological beast, or something like that. Join in the laughs, because it's time for the Digital Soup Podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
Hey guys, and welcome to another edition of the Digital Soup Podcast. I am Adam, and with me I've got a couple of good friends of mine. I've got Jason and Dave. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good.
I am doing ecstatic.
Excellent. So glad to hear it. A lot of energy on today's show.
A lot of energy.
Oh, man. So let's get right into this. One of the things we were talking about after the last show that we did was tech pranks. This is something near and dear to my heart. I think, there's the classic put the piece of tape under the mouse kind of a deal. Yeah. Or one that I did, you zip tie the phone receiver of your coworker right, really close between the on the phone line. So when they pick it up, the whole phone comes up to their face. That's always classic.
Hey, what about the classic, though, for those of us that work in offices? The classic is the screenshot of the desktop, make it the wallpaper, remove all the icons, and they're like,
Yep, that one is uber frustrating. I think it's gotten a little bit easier. One prank that I did a long time ago, this is back in 2007, so the tech that worked on the cube opposite of me, I could actually, her computer was up against the cube wall, and I could reach around and touch the back of it, so I just simply plugged in an extra mouse to it. And so throughout the day, I would just kind of randomly smack that extra mouse a little bit, and then I'd hear over on the other side, like, trying to figure out what was going on with their mouse. I did this for about a week solid.
Oh, and she's that's
like,
awesome.
Until she's like, Adam, come look at this. I go over there. I'm like, what? She goes, my mouse has been moving by itself. I'm like, and I just stared at her over her shoulder. I said, well, it's not doing it now. She's like, well, I swear it was.
So Adam, brilliant. Oh, you should have taken that one step further and plugged in an extra keyboard. And then she has her Word document. We go, I'm going to kill you.
Why so dark?
I wanted to keep my job.
Yeah. So, you could do something like, I see what sites you've been visiting, but why dark? I'm going to kill you.
Go all the way, huh?
Do you think that would work with like a Bluetooth mouse?
Which is what makes it even easier now, is what I mean. The new little
that's
USB.
What I'm wondering, like, how far away that would be hilarious. Because where I'm at in my office, I'm on one side of the lobby, and then the other loan officer is across the hallway, kind of a short lobby. It's not huge. But I wonder if I plugged the Bluetooth receiver into hers and then had that other mouse at my desk and just mess with it.
You know, a real Bluetooth should go that distance. Yep. Mm-hmm. The standard, cheap, like Logitech mouse with little dongle, not quite as far. We're talking like, I don't know, 12 feet before you start to lose it.
How if you had a big-ass dongle, how far would that go?
It's going the distance. It's going for speed.
Yeah.
All alone.
So another thing, so I want to talk about an incident that where I really stepped up my office prank game, which involved actually investing and paying money for something. So there was a coworker of mine in a different office that would occasionally, go into my office and mess around with things just as, we're pranking each other back and forth.
I hope you talked to HR.
Well, I'll get to that point. Yeah, because it did eventually get up to HR.
Oh, really?
Oh no.
Keep in mind, this is not at my current workplace.
We had to let you go, Adam.
No, that didn't happen. So I found on thinkgeek.com, there was this item called the Annoyatron, and they still sell these now, but they've kind of updated the design. But what it is, it's a really tiny circuit board with a strong magnet on the back and a couple of different settings on it. And it would make a couple of different beeps. One's a really high-pitched, and one's just a little short beep. And it would randomly play these between 2 and 8 minutes, whatever function they have in there. And so it sounds, it's just an electronic beep, and it's just called the Annoyatron. So the thing you're supposed to do is go hide it somewhere and then drive somebody nuts with it. So this coworker of mine, he had this metal desk, and I opened the metal desk, and right in the corner of one of the drawers, where the metal folded in, I just tucked it in there. So there's no way you ever would have found the thing. And so I turned it on, and, I heard the initial little beep. And I just thought, ha, 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 now we wait. And I think it was several days later, another coworker of mine called me and said, dude, you got to get down there. You're starting to lose it. like, you could not find the thing, and he was getting so mad.
Oh, that's killer.
So by the time that I took it out and showed him what it was, then we kind of joked around and placed it a few other places. And then my favorite, though, I had another office outside of mine, and there was some younger folks working there, some college age kids, and they had a little kind of metal statue on top of one of their cabinets. So just right out in the open, I just stuck it to the back of the thing and turned it on. And I came out there the next day, and one of them had a notebook out, and she was writing down the time of each beep. They were trying to figure out how long in between, and it was driving them nuts. So that was great. And then I had a guy from a different department comes up and says, you know, I want to borrow this thing and prank this other person. So I just let him borrow it. And I just yelled as he was walking out, I'm like, by the way, I'm not responsible for that thing. And, of course, it comes up that somebody reported it to HR that somebody was wasting time on pranks or whatever. And I went and talked with HR. I wasn't called down to HR, but just like, hey, what happened? And I showed it to HR and explained how it worked. And then our HR guy goes, you know, can I borrow that? I laughed my way out of that office. But the thing is amazing now. They have a couple other ones. So that was just a beep, and how annoying is it when you don't know what's beeping. They have a couple other ones. One is called the
Eviltron. I'm looking at it right now.
Eviltron. So read some of the noises that it makes and how creepy
something,
it is.
Something unsettling, creaking. I guess that's a weird way. Unidentifiable scratching sounds.
Yep, scratching sounds.
That's a good one. Gasping last breath. Now, this is the one that would freak me out here. Sinister child laughing. That would be freaky.
Yeah. Well, when I was looking at these, I read about one gal who had, you know, people are writing their reviews. They're like, I put this under my brother-in-law's bed. You know, is one of the sounds like a little help me sound?
It says, hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, eerie whispering of, hey, can you hear me? I was just thinking, not under a bed, though. I was thinking, I don't know why, but I really, really want to get one of these for next year during deer season when all my uncles, you know, we meet up and my dad and everyone go out hunting and slip this into one of their backpacks, you know, their jacket pockets, something. As
they're out in the woods by themselves.
Out in the woods, dark and all around. All of a sudden, they've got sinister children laughing at them.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
You know, hey, can you hear me?
That would be the Blair Witch Project, definitely out there.
I'd hear gunshots randomly shooting. Something's after me.
And prior to this, Dave, you set up all these little piles of stones and stuff.
Yeah. I could actually, I could do is just go hide it right in the tree where they hunt, go in, you know, and just put it so it's not even on them, it's up in the tree with them, and they would never find it.
If they've got a metal tree stand, just it's got a magnet on it, just stick it in there.
Yep, we do. We use a lot of portable like ladder stands and stuff because we can't build in the public lands anymore. So sure. A lot of portable stands is what we use. So you could hide that thing easily.
So now I'm looking at these on the Think Geek site, and they've changed the design around. The one that I have is like a flat little circuit board, and the thing about that is that you could fit it. There was people that were taking it. They were taking the plate cover off of a light switch and sticking it in there.
You could
put it behind a picture inside of a frame on somebody's desk.
Yeah.
And it's just, you would never find the thing. These things are just amazing. It looks like they actually updated the Annoyatron. So now instead of just beeping, it has a cat meow, a door knock, a cricket, a doorbell, and a random sound.
Yeah, it looks like you can just have it random and alternate through the sounds.
Different rings and
stuff. These too, even now, though, they're not real big. They're a little thicker, like a stack of maybe, five, six quarters, it looks like. But not much bigger than that. Yeah. I show a picture of a guy hiding it under a desk. But, yeah, that'd be too much fun.
They run on a CR2032 battery, just your standard like CMOS battery that you can get at Walmart.
Right.
And that lasts for like a month. So it looks like they have a three-pack on here for $15. That's a pretty good deal.
I like how they say it. One battery provides over 1 month plus of continuous use. And in quotations or in parentheses, it says, longer than your victim's sanity. I mean, it's just so sinister.
Oh, man.
Hey, Adam, before we get too far away from this here, I want to rewind a little bit to something you had said. when you were talking about HBR. You said that you didn't get called down there, but you just, you know, like stopped by and go, hey, what's going on? Or something like that, right?
Oh, no, I was having conversations with them about it. Just because I knew that there had been a complaint. So.
Okay. Well, my comment was, it's like, you know, say you're a murderer, right? And you show up at the scene of the crime.
We're going dark.
Well, I'm just thinking about this. And you walk up to the, you know, the investigator there. And you're like, hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah. You guys didn't see anything happening around here. Wow. What? What I do think you mean I saw something that, happened?
It, no, they knew how it was. Dexter worked?
Yeah, they knew it was. Yeah. No, they everybody fully knew it was my device. And I even, because it was, it's a little circuit board is creepy looking, I actually put a label on there that said pranked, you know, so it's not like people, I don't want people to think they were getting bugged or anything like that, which is probably why they changed the design and put a label on it. Like, so it's
much like Trump Towers.
Yep. There was a FISA investigation going on. And
yeah.
So anyway, what are some of the, you guys have been out in the workforce for a long time too. What are some of the pranks that you guys have used or seen out there?
You know, we don't do a lot because I've been working for the last, 10 years, 12 years in the financial field, and there's not a lot of pranking that happens because these people are kind of, I don't want to say they don't have a sense of humor, because where I'm at now, definitely.
Fuddy duddies.
Well, where it is, I mean, the problem is with pranks, and I'm kind of in this camp where I love them. I find them hilarious, but I hate when they're done to me. And it's like, I know with my boss and my one coworker, the other loan officer where I'm at, if we got started with the smallest pranks, it would be one of those situations where things just escalate to crazy levels in a hurry. And it's like, I don't need to come into my office and find, you know, the whole office packed with balloons from floor to ceiling, you know, things like that. It's like, so we just kind of laugh about them. We don't really do anything, but
yeah, it really does depend on your environment.
I was going to say no stapler in the Jell-O or anything.
No, no. I mean, I'd love to do some of those. Some of those are so dang funny.
I will say when my first job out of college, it was in a software shop, and I left, I had the front desk gal leave a note for my buddy. And it said, you know, it was one of those little form letters that says, you know, please call so-and-so back. They were trying to reach you, you know, one of those little slips.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we just wrote the number down for the Minnesota Zoo, and we just said, please return a call to Mr. Lion.
Can I please speak to Mr. Lion, please?
Who? I was trying to decide between that and Mr. Bear. Or maybe it was Mr. Bear that we used. Whichever one, I just remember secretly watching him. He picked up his phone and they answered, and he's like, I'm returning a call to Mr. Bear. And then they're like, then there's something else said, and he's like, I thought so, sorry. Then he hangs up and he's like, which one of you did this?
You could have separated it like Lion and made it sound Asian, like Lee, like L-I-N-N-O-N.
Yeah.
Leon. Mr.
Leon?
Yeah, it's a French guy named Leon.
Hey, now I wanted to talk to you guys about something. You know, I know, Dave, you're a cord cutter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You have no cable at all.
Correct.
Adam, do you still have cable?
I do not, because you I can't not. Get it.
Oh, you can't get it?
No, I'm out in the country enough that I can't. I could get satellite if I wanted to, but I just put up an HD antenna.
So what do you have for internet then? You have DSL?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Well, the reason why I'm even bringing it up is, you know, I've been a cord cutter for probably about 6-7 years, although at the moment I do have cable because my cable company's like, we'll raise your bill $7, we'll give you 200 channels. So, you know, figured $7, I'll do it. But I've tried every service out there. I mean, I've been with Sling many times. I usually do Sling during football season because I get red zone.
Did you try the new what was their device called? The Sling Blade?
Yes.
Sling Box, was it?
No,
I think it was Sling Blade. Mm-hmm, yep.
I know where Adam was going with that. Yeah, there was a Sling Box too. That just took your actual cable through the internet. You know, you had to set up something on the local site, and then you remoted it over to another location.
Okay.
But, you know, PlayStation has their View, HBO just, what do they have, their Go?
HBO Now.
All kinds of stuff out here. Well, the big news is YouTube with their YouTube TV. Now, I don't know if you guys have tried those other services.
Not much, just a little bit. I played around with a 30-day trial of HBO. just because I wanted to watch a little bit of Game of Thrones. But
House of Cards. No, wait, that's
I didn't pay for it though. I just did the 30-day trial, and that was it. So,
yeah, well, I want to let you guys know I've been very intimate with some of these services.
Okay.
And I do have to tell you the one that intrigues me the most is the YouTube TV.
Yeah, this was kind of big news, right?
Yeah, what's so cool is the other ones don't have the major networks, the ABC, NBC, CBS, yeah, and Fox. They just don't have them. You can't get any local affiliates of anything. It's just like the TBSs, TNTs, you know, yep, USAs, all that kind of stuff. Where this, it has your major networks plus, I think, a package of 35 other channels here and there. AMC is not one of them, so you Walking Dead fans out there, you're going to have to go a different route to get that.
Just keep on walking.
Wait, so this is just the major networks?
No, it's the major networks plus 35 other channels.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So you get 40 channels for $35 a month. It's a great deal. In my opinion, it's a great deal. I have not tried this service out because, like I said, we do have it. If it was football season, I might have tried it, but I do not think Red Zone's in there. So forget what I just said. I won't be trying it for that.
I need some red zone during football season.
I do see they have some sports on there. I mean, of course, ESPN News, it looks like. The Big Ten Network, if you're into college football, you should be able to see that. Fox Sports Prime Ticket, I'm not sure what that is. And then, like, your FS1, FS2, which are a lot of times you'll see for any of you here in Minnesota or in your other regional areas, that'll be, like, where the Twins will play, Fox Sports North and things like that. But what are they saying? When does this come out again? Or did you already say and I missed it?
No, I didn't say it. I'm actually not 100% sure. It might have already been in testing in some markets. I believe it is available in some markets. The last thing I read, it's just not available nationwide yet. Dang it. I should have done some research. Oh, you idiots. How about you guys? You know anything about it? Or are we just going to...
That's the first I've heard of it myself.
Yeah, I saw it just through... through YouTube because I'm active there with my own channel and I watch a lot of you know, different YouTube subscriber, you know, channels that I'm keeping up on all the time, and that's, I saw a lot of them talking about this, but seemed like a little bit of a mixed reaction. You know, because a lot of people were excited about it, but at the same time kind of felt just like, I'm still not gonna pay for TV, you know, kind of mentality.
Well, I was gonna. Sorry, Adam. Go ahead, man. I've been.
Oh, I was just gonna ask if you guys have ever gone the HD, like, actual antenna route, like I did.
That's what all I have is just the literally the old rabbit ears. Okay, running HD in, but.
And the reason I'm asking, because when I moved into my new place, I'm about 58 miles from the nearest tower as far as TV goes. Mm-hmm. As you know, as the crow flies, and I did a little bit of research and found there's a lot of new technology when it comes to TV antennas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was able to pull in about 40 channels just sitting in my garage, and I'm 58 miles away. So I ended up buying an antenna. I went down to Walmart and I looked around, and as I was standing there looking at the different antennas, yeah, it was $99, but it's like a weather rated, you know, everything.
So it's an outdoor.
Yeah, but I have got it mounted inside my garage on the wall.
Oh, okay.
And there's a website called antennaweb.org where you can put in your address and it'll give you exact lines of, you know, what would be closest and where you should aim it. So I was able to aim it and everything. Of course, it's now that they've gone digital, it's all or nothing. You don't get fuzz.
Yeah.
So right. That's the thing that kind of sucks because the weather can impact it and how high up it is. But for me, it was a really good choice because I generally get the four major networks, which is what the wife wants to see. And then, you know, I'll just use the streaming services for the other. But
here's the issue with me is if you were to go to one of those websites to check what's available, you type in my zip code. It literally has like three PBS channels and that's it. Sweet. I have no idea why. Because
what's your zip code?
I guess it doesn't matter. 44622. It's not like anybody's going to come and track me down. I know what city he's in.
I mean, last week you just invited him out to your work, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, for the new 44622. If you can look it up there, I've checked it several times because I wanted.
Yeah, you're
to
not
go
kidding.
That
you get jack squat.
I know, and I don't know why because I am. You know, I'm not out in the boonies here. I don't understand it.
just where the towers happen to be.
It sucks.
See, and I don't know, like, I've never looked to see in Hibbing what we get. I know I have talked to some people where they put up the old style antennas, you know, that used to go up on top of the roof, and they'll mount them right up in their attic, actually. But what we run into here, from my understanding, talking to a few people locally that have done this, you can get a ton of channels like that as well, 40 to 60 channels, I think. But you basically have to run two separate antennas, because where Hibbing is, the towers are on opposite ends, you know. So to get one part of the network, you've got to go to one side and then another separate antenna pointing the opposite direction to get the other half the channels. And it's kind of a pain, but.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, here's. So,
well, bringing it back to this, that, I mean, that's the exact reason why something like this, you know, will benefit people. You know, like me,
you just can't
go over the air. You either have to pay, you know, the extortion fees that your local cable provider, you know, gives you, or
no doubt,
or you can go stream and service. Now, like I said, I've used a bunch of the different ones, and there's been one major issue with all of them is you get one stream. Like on Sling TV, I have three Rokus, two phones, and five tablets, all with the Sling app on it.
Right.
So say I'm watching something, my kids go upstairs and they want to watch something. As soon as they start streaming it, within like 10 seconds, it cuts my stream off and says, Sling has been activated on another device. Oh. So you have been disconnected.
Oh, no one likes to be cut off midstream, I'll tell you that.
Right? Exactly. I mean, it hurts. It literally hurts. Yeah,
it stings.
Yes. Ugh, but here's...
so bad.
Yeah, here's where YouTube TV is awesome. You get six streams with your one...
That's pretty sweet.
With your one price. And it's even better than that.
But wait a minute.
There's more. You get unlimited DVD storage space. That's right. You can save everything. Yeah, it says unlimited DVR storage space. So you,
that's pretty sweet.
One of the reviews I was reading, it, you can actually, like, say there's 13 shows on from 7 to 7:30 and you want to watch them all. Well, you can record every single one of those. I remember it was big when TiVo went to two tuners and you could record two things at once. And then four tuners. You could record four things at once. This is unlimited tuners.
Do we know what... So, okay, we talked about the big networks and then 35 others. What are the other stations?
All right, let me see if I can get a full list if Adam doesn't... Dave doesn't have it up yet.
I don't. I was looking for it.
I've been trying to find it.
They said this is a... What did you say it was? 30... $35 a month.
All right, I got it here. You guys ready?
Yep.
Okay, you got the CBS, NBC, CBS, CBS,
oh, what
ABC,
about CBS?
NBC, Fox. You got ESPN,
sure,
Disney
CBS.
Channel, MSNBC, National Geographic, Fox News. Let's see.
It's got FX.
Oh, great. So it says full list here, but it doesn't have it. There's 40 channels.
Yeah,
and every place I go, it just lists the big ones. Why do you do
Yeah, that? I mean, I think just I'm seeing is I'm just looking at the graphic on the one article we're looking at, which we'll link up in the show notes, of course, for people. But the graphic has got a lot of them on the screen. Some of them I don't recognize the logos, but
okay. Can I add a few more in here? Sorry.
Sure.
The CW.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah. Stop.
USA. FX.
I love me some CW.
FXX.
What's that?
FX Extreme, I guess. FXX.
That sounds naughty.
Freeform. Sci-fi. Oh, yeah.
Now, let's stop there for a second. Sci-fi channel. Do they still put out, like, fun programming? I haven't.
Oh, yeah. You mean like a Sharknado 18?
Yeah.
The Sharknadiest?
I mean, I don't even know what's on there. I've cut cable. It's been, geez, it has to be 4 years, 5 years ago now. And so the only time I see anything is if I go out to my parents, I'll go out and watch football with my dad on the weekends, you know, whatever. And otherwise, it's just four PBS channels and then ABC at home here and then like the oldies TV. What is it? MeTV or something. And so that's all we have. Everything else is all Netflix and stuff for us. But, I didn't even, like, I forgot totally about sci-fi, and I remember they used to have some pretty cool adaptations, like, didn't they redo a few years back with that Zooey Deschanel, the Wizard of Oz remake, Tin Man, I think it was called.
Was that on sci-fi? I'm not 100% sure.
I thought it was a sci-fi show that they redid, and some cool ones like that, but yeah, When you said sci-fi, it made me wonder what the heck is even on sci-fi.
Well, the only anymore. Thing I know that they have on, because I don't watch it, but I know they have a lot of those really cheesy B, you know, sci-fi shows, you know, sure. made for TV movies that they right. always do. But otherwise, so, I don't know.
What was your experience with Sling then?
It was very good. I mean, I would very rarely, but I have fast internet. When I'm out yeah. and about, like if I'm trying to do it at work on our Wi-Fi there, it does, you know, pretty much suck. You know, there's buffering and stuff. Mm. At home, it was perfect. I mean, what I did find, though, was that on Sundays, oh, my goodness, you trying to I watch suppose, a game, yeah. there are so many people watching it. That's the only time I ever got buffering was when I'm trying to watch a game. And, that just makes sense. You know, guys, you know, they probably have, like, three devices in front of them trying to watch all the different games at once, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But
sure.
Although you only get one stream, so that just shot that theory right to hell.
Remove your foot from your mouth kindly, sir.
Now, I can breathe better.
One quick thought on this, just on the business end of things here. Reading this article a little bit as we've been talking, I didn't realize this is all part of AT&T now. Because it's something to do with the merger of AT&T and Time Warner. And it looks like this service is going to be AT&T's own service. So I wonder when you set this up, I wonder if this is going to be one of those cases where, you know, we've always heard about how the different cell phone companies will throttle speeds for one company versus, you know, service versus another. I wonder if it's going to cause issues for like Verizon users trying to watch this.
I couldn't even fathom a guess there.
Yeah, right. We'll have to see what happens. Interesting. Yeah,
it but it's happen. Supposed to be net neutrality. There's no high-speed right. lanes or low-speed lanes.
Yeah, and all web pages have a beige background.
Yeah.
Is that not what this means? Neutral.
Yeah, neutral.
I like taupe.
Did either of you guys pick up this Switch this week?
No.
You I didn't? Haven't. Well, I picked up three because I need one for the bathroom.
Well, I thought you
one got for the
three.
Garage. Huh?
One for I thought you got three. One for you and one for Adam and I.
Are you talking about a light switch? That
yes,
you picked up?
The light switch. And
you it... greedy.
Well, it is out. Yeah. You know, we did our nice little special on it. We've talked about it here and there, and it's officially out in the hands of the people.
It is.
It's amazing. Actually, it's been mixed reviews. I've watched some YouTube, reviews of it and stuff, which. YouTube is awesome for that. I love YouTube. If I'm going to, you know, buy any, you know, hardware, even the vehicle that I purchased today, we won't talk about that, but I did purchase, an Aston Martin.
Yeah, S10 from Martin.
Call me Bond. Jason Bond.
Right.
But yeah,
Gold
I love
Bond.
Oh, medicated ointment.
I got one for everything you're about to say. Keep going.
But yeah, I mean, I love YouTube for watching reviews and stuff. And it's been a mixed bag, I guess. Some of the stuff we did know about it previously was that the handheld itself, if you're playing it straight on the handheld, it was 720p. When you hooked it into the dock, it became 1080p on your screen. I did read some stuff on the new Zelda that there was actually a little bit of stuttering.
Really?
When it was running on 1080p. Now, when it was just doing 720, there was no issue. But like you've probably seen some of those huge valley ones where it looks like you can see like 30 miles, you know, away with the mountain ranges and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit of stutter in there saying, which then, you know, people are speculating on how underpowered the system is. Hmm. Now, it's been iFixit has not tore it down yet, so we don't know everything that's in it. But from what people have said through testing, it is less powerful than both the PS4 and the Xbox One, which is kind of disappointing because it's come out several years after those two. Mm-hmm. But Nintendo does this. I mean, they always do this. And of course, there had to be some. You know, they had to make some exceptions here to the hardware because it's also a portable system.
Right.
You know, so you couldn't put, you know, all that high-end gear into it. But still, I mean, why does Nintendo do this? Just, you know, system after system. They don't want to compete directly. You know, they got to go their own way. They got to do it Nintendo's way, which, right. you know, is great. But say somebody wants just one system. And, yep. oh, they love Nintendo stuff. But they know, you know, I'm going to get that Nintendo system, and, you know, my Madden football is not going to look as good as my friends. My right. GTA 5 is not going to look as good and probably have white blood, you know, on Nintendo. So, you know, you got to compete, Nintendo. I'm going to say that now. I don't own the system, but I've watched a lot of reviews of it. It is awesome. It's the Zelda machine is what they're calling it right now, because the other five games that were released, you know, at launch here all basically, you know, sucked the big one. Can I say that? I guess I did.
I kind of feel like this is something I want to try out and really see if I like
it. I want to go down
GameStop.
Because
it just looks like, I don't know.
You know, this is a prime candidate for why I wish video stores were still a thing. Because I remember as a kid being able to go in and rent a system, you know.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
And you'd rent the, I forget when I last did it, if it was like N64 or, you know, something like that. But where you could go in, you paid a little bit more, but you'd rent the system and everything for, you know, 2-3 days and get to play it and try it out. And that would be killer to be able to do, you know. And because I myself, I mean, we talked about a little bit before, I don't have a ton of time for gaming right now, but something like that, I'd definitely rent it for a week or a weekend if I knew I had nothing going on and could just sit down and check out a game, you know, a system for a while. That'd be awesome. But I can't see spending $400 on the Zelda machine.
Well, no. Yeah, it depends on where your station is in life, you know what I mean?
Right.
You got a 17-year-old who's been saving up his money from working down at Mickey D's.
Yeah.
Boom. Good times.
Now, wow, you just jumped back 20 years there, Adam, and described yourself.
I did. Except I didn't buy a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
A Nintendo 64, though.
Actually, I think I sold my Super Nintendo to Gene.
Who the heck is Gene?
You don't remember Gene?
That's what I was wondering.
No, I have no idea.
Store manager.
You used to always walk in every day.
Remember, he used to be your boss?
And he used to be alive?
Yes, that's also true.
He was a young guy.
Nice segue, Jason. Hey, listeners. Jason's a little morbid today. So
off.
Remember
know?
When he used to be alive?
Talk about killing a segment. I mean,
I see what you did there.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to
be you're trunk. Slaying, Dave. You're slaying.
We're all going to rot. That's all that's happening.
I'm thinking about going to Corpus Christi. All right, that was bad. Let's just get out of here.
Well, speaking of dead, though.
You guys feeling okay? Because I heard some coughing.
Yeah. not that. Oh, man.
Stupid.
I
was petting my frog, Croak. I named him Croak because I stepped on him. Should have named him Squash.
Should have named him Rectum. Dang near killed him.
Oh, man. Gee. Well, I can't get it now. I'm lost. What I was going to say is, speaking of Zelda, though, and things getting beat down, like that segment, it just came out in the news, though, that in Zelda's first week, it did... Who's singing?
Is that Zelda music for you?
Zelda did not make it to the charts, to the top of the charts. Oh, man. Oh, I'm losing it.
Sorry, Dave, go on.
My Zelda cheeks did hurt not make so it bad.
It didn't make it to the top of the charts.
Well, the number one game had to have been Bangfinger. I mean, nothing better than that.
Top seller.
Oh,
no, yeah. It was actually the PS4 coming in with a title. Number one in the UK, these numbers are from, because the Switch, of course.
Bloody
when did
hell.
It come out here?
Crikey.
This week?
Oh, wait, that's Australia.
Yeah, easy there, Mr. Irwin. Speaking of dead. Anyways.
Oh.
That was horrible.
Yeah, his buddy was named Ray. He stinged him good.
Oh, man.
We are horrible today.
I'm just going to say Jason is. That's
yeah.
No. Oh. Yeah. Just throw me under the
everything
bus.
Everything I've said has been fine. You heartless.
Man, this humor's SOB. Gone flatter than a pancake. But so, the game Horizon Zero Dawn, I don't know much about this game, but I just was looking at it, and looks like that took the top 10 for the week, ending March 4th. So what was that, last Friday? So looks like this game got knocked out. Didn't even crack the number one spot on its huge release of this system. So kind of interesting and maybe slightly telling as far as the future of the Switch in some ways, you know, on what people are spending their money on.
That, yeah. Do you think that, because not everybody has this game or the system yet.
Yeah.
Think that'll affect the sale as that increases, maybe?
Well, it could. And I mean, also keep in mind, this is just the UK's top 10. So we don't know the numbers from US, Japan, anywhere else. But this one, you know, just looking at the UK was kind of an interesting figure, I thought. You know, looking at it, they're talking about stats for the release of Breath of the Wild. 78% of the game sales were for the Switch, but they had 22% for the Wii U still. So, you know, not a ton, but it looks like Zelda was, well, at least based on their numbers there, 75% of all Switch software sales for the week were Zelda. So interesting.
Well, if you're going to buy a Switch at launch, I mean, out
you
of
those go
games,
Zelda.
Yeah, that's it's the only real game, really.
I mean, aside from Bangfinger, but
yeah.
I mean,
I'd like to get the, you know, the one that let's count the ice cubes in our controller. Yeah, that's a fun game.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be shaking around.
Oh, I think there's 3 marbles in here. All right, let's play another round. Oh, there's 4 marbles. Ah, let's do it again.
Wow-wee! Absolutely.
It's like seriously, how many times can you guess how many marbles are in a controller before you just throw it against the wall?
Before you think this thing's just broken, what's rattling around in here?
So for the listeners that aren't aware, when Nintendo released their big Switch release debut, they were showing off some of the different games that they had, and some of them they're talking about how sensitive the controller is and what you can do with it. And I don't know why I'm making hand motions by myself in my room here. But
I don't know. What are you doing there?
Well, I called the controller fat and started crying like a bitch.
What?
It's just so sensitive.
So anyway, get those earmuffs on.
Yeah, one of the demo things was that, you know, now you can, it feels like we're putting ice cubes in the glass, and in so here it's like there's marbles in it. And then,
okay. I just got that.
and Dave, you think I'm
I did
bad.
Not. It's over my head, whatever you're talking about.
When he said it was crying like a bee, and then he goes just quietly, he said, so sensitive. It took me a long time, but it just clicked.
That's okay.
I didn't quite
had to explain it to me, so.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, thank you. He just called me brilliant.
Yeah, I did.
Listeners.
Don't get used to
by
it.
By accident.
Anyway, Adam, go ahead.
No, I don't remember where we're at. We should probably circle back here. So, yeah. Zelda, you know, we'll see where it makes it. You know,
now, I think this fall when, you know, the other big games come out, like, you know, the Mario and I think they're doing a remake or like an updated version of Mario Kart 8 with like a bunch of new boards and stuff.
Is that
too.
How many Mario Karts there are now?
Yeah. Holy well, cow. 8 was on the Wii U. So they're just like rehashing. It's not even a brand new Mario Kart.
I mean, I guess how much new can you do with Mario Kart? I mean, I still to this day feel like the very first Mario Kart nailed it. And since then, it's been just additions to graphics.
Well,
you'll tape the controller to your steering wheel in your car, and then as you go, you don't even need the screen.
Well, yeah. the big change for this one, though, is you remember the red mushrooms? They're now purple.
So that's what I mean. It's graphics tweaks and little gimmicks like that, but gameplay, Mario Kart was one of the most perfect games back in the day.
I think Mario Kart 64 was the epitome of the upper echelon, the plateau, the, you know, it was the Mario Kart.
It was,
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yep, the pinnacle.
In not so many words, but with a lot of words.
Yeah, you know.
You said words.
Glad
good.
You could get to the point there.
Yeah. It's like pulling teeth with you people.
Oh, man.
Now, I'm just looking at this list real quick before we move on. The UK top 10 for the week, the games. So this Horizon Zero Dawn for Sony, Zelda for Nintendo, Grand Theft Auto 5.
That's out now?
I guess so. I don't know what it's all about.
3 years later, it's still number 3.
Yeah. What is number 4 on this list? It just says 1-2 Switch. Is that just the console?
That's Bangfinger. Yes.
Oh, God. That made number
that's
4
the
on
actual,
the list?
That's the actual.
Pew, pew, pew.
Really. Now, if they would have called it Bangfinger, that would have been number 1, dude. Number 1.
Yeah. Okay. I was wondering.
Mommy,
if that's
Daddy,
what it
can we go get Bangfinger? Oh, what? Man.
My creepy doll told me to go check it out.
Oh man. Full circle, folks.
Well, yeah. Talking about games, I saw this thing, and I don't know too much about it. I just thought it was something cool, just kind of a quick little nod to something neat I saw. Speaking of games, and this is a gaming PC I saw that came out. It's called the Volta V with like the letter V, like Voltron. But it's this gaming PC, and I don't even know about the power in it or anything, but it looks so cool. It's the entire gaming PC is mounted inside this really awesome looking wooden box. It's like
a retro wooden
thing. It is beautiful. I'm going to agree that it's completely beautiful, but what's inside is even more beautiful, and by you saying, I don't even know the power of it, you're going all on and on about this wooden box. This has a freaking 18-core Xeon processor, dude. Yep. Well, 18 cores.
Yeah.
64 megs of RAM. That's a hell of a lot of cores.
I wish I could look at this because I have ad blocker. Dang it.
Now, unfortunately, it just has one of those Quadro video cards, which is, you know, It's what you're going to use when you're designing and stuff. It's not a game, and you're going to want to switch it out for a gaming card. But it also has two terabyte SSDs. I mean, those things have to be like $400 each.
I guess I don't know enough about video cards, but these Quadro P6000, that's got a 24 gig card. Yeah. That's got to be able to process something.
Not for gaming, though, unfortunately. Really? You're just a standard like NVIDIA GeForce, what is it, the 1080? 1060, whatever. That is more powerful than one of these. This is for those people that are doing, you know, hardcore CAD work, designing of, you know, engineers doing that type of designs and stuff.
How about Photoshop, Lightroom type work, video editing work?
Possibly. You know what? I haven't even thought about that. I bet you it would be, you know, as long as your software can utilize GPU processing, you know, the GPU cores to hand off. But why are you going to have to hand off from an 18-core processor? You're not going to need to.
Right. Well,
you know, I wonder how good that video card would do in actually 3D gaming, because from what I've heard, it isn't. Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know about the specific one, but the Quadro line has been around for fake. Yes.
No, I said fight.
Oh, I think you said fake news.
No.
This video card is huge.
It is huge. It's huge.
It's quite presidential.
I don't know. At 25, the pricing on these things start at $2,500.
Well, they shouldn't bill it as a gaming PC if it doesn't have a gaming card. So,
and it says it's a 4K capable rig. I'm guessing that's output they're talking. Far as displays, that's not. I mean,
yeah, I'm gonna check something here.
Oh, it looks like there's some different options. You know, you can configure it with what you want. That's just what they put.
Yeah, and it says there are also plenty of configurations that don't cost five figures. Which, that's scary. I mean, five figures. That's, you know.
Oh, here's another reason why you won't want to use this just in your everyday rig. It takes 250 watts.
That's it?
Wow.
That's it.
That's a lot.
I have an FX processor, which is one of the most power-hungry processors because it's not very efficient. It's made on, I believe it's the 32, nanometer, whatever, processing, whatever. And that takes 95 watts, where Intel... You know, their high ends are like 60 watts and stuff. This is taking 250 watts.
Gotcha. But seriously, I mean, this thing is just awesome looking.
I was thinking it only has a 250 watt power supply. That's what I reacted to. Like,
no, that's what it takes.
Yeah, 250 watts is just solid. That sucks. Yeah. That's a fourth of a hair dryer.
Just steady all day long, 24/7. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just saw this and... I had to put it in because I knew you guys would know more about the specs than what I do, but it's just such a different looking desktop tower. And I mean, I can see something like this sitting on a desk, you know, people, you know, they're big into design, big into photo and video work. If the specs handle that fine. I mean, it's just such a pleasing looking machine.
It really
looks killer on the desk. And plus, you know, your monitor just sits right on top of it. It looks really just like a little monitor stand is what it looks like. A high-end bamboo kind of.
It says it's inspired by the simple beauty of handmade hardwood furniture. I'm assuming that it's German. Somehow.
Well, yeah, I don't know who makes this. I didn't even find out. But
the interesting thing is, if you're ever into like Instructables or do-it-yourself kind of stuff, when you look at the picture where they have the cover off the case,
right?
This looks like something that somebody just slapped together. Like, I made a nice-looking case, which you could do.
And that's what I was wondering, looking at this. Like, my first thought was, geez, all that stuff in there, is this a fire hazard? You know, like, the heat going to build up enough where this thing just, boom, ignites? But as long as you can get okay on that side where you don't have to worry about that, I can't imagine it's got to be too hard to just buy the components and build a machine inside of a sweet looking, you know, case like this. But it wood, you make it your own design, whatever.
Right. Well, and kind of like we talked about last time, but no one's done that yet with this style.
Right.
I do kind of like the way it just sits like a little, and you wouldn't tell it's a computer by looking at it. It just looks like a nice little stand. It looks like they're making these in Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay.
I like the way you said that. South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah, it says it's cut from U.S. grown trees. So
now we're talking.
Well, and it kind of reminds me, there's a service, not to get sidetracked on photo stuff, but there's a printing service that I've used a little bit. They're called Artifact Uprising. I think they're based out of Colorado, maybe. But they do a lot of like photo boxes where, you know, they make boxes that you can deliver photos to clients in or store them. Like wood, you know, their frames and different wood-based items. And all of their wood comes from reclaimed wood that's been, you know, killed out there because of that emerald ash borer beetle kills all those trees. They've been able to work out an agreement with the forestry or whoever and bring in a ton of the, you know, they get a regular shipments of these trees to repurpose it. And I see a lot of places using stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of cool that people have figured out a way to reuse natural resources like trees, you know, that have gone to waste. Otherwise they'd just be burned and repurpose them in of all things, a field of tech and different places like that. It's pretty cool what people are doing. That's one credit or not I'll give to the hipster crowd is that they really are pretty smart about finding ways to utilize stuff like that. So kudos to them. So,
you know, I'm looking at this a little closer and I went through their configuration thing, and for $2,300 you can get one with you know, the GTX 1060 6 gig card in there, an extra 2 terabyte data drive and everything. You can choose from a couple. They have bamboo or walnut. And one thing that I noticed, if you look on their specs, kind of going back to our discussion on magnets, magnetic toolless entry. So strong magnets hold the lid on. It can be easily removed for repairs, upgrades, and stuff. That's pretty awesome. Slick.
Yeah.
Now, it's a beautiful case, like Dave pointed out. I think it would look a great, like, you know, I don't need it because, you know, I live in a squalor. But people that have, like,
what?
He lives in squalor.
Oh.
Pure, unadulterated heaps of trash.
I thought he said something like a southern accent, like a squalor.
Yeah, I did say squalor. But, but Adam corrected me.
Are you going to drink that? I'm not in a squalor.
I live in squalor.
Hey, would somebody close that window? I'm getting cold in here.
Swallow nothing. Man. That's what I always say.
But yeah, it does. It's beautiful. I would like to just buy the case and build my own.
Right.
Head.
Yeah, that would be totally sweet.
I tell you what, though, which out of us is good with woodworking? one of I know it's not me, but one of you guys needs to figure this out and start making.
My brother actually does woodworking.
Get your brother on here. Let's bring him on the show one night, and we're going to lay out our plans.
Oh, that would definitely be an interesting show, I'll tell you.
That'd be great. But we'll lay out the plans, and we'll have him make up some custom digital soup PCs for everyone.
Love it. New business idea. I got to say, the more I look at this and the pictures I've got, it's just a cool-looking thing.
It is.
I don't remember how I found it, but... It's on the Wired website, wired.com.
I'm looking at volta.com. Their website is volta.computer. So they registered a .computer name.
Perfect.
That's pretty cool.
Sure. Absolutely.
Nice find. That's awesome.
You know, another nice find here is I've been really seriously contemplating getting myself a Android watch. I know you guys are both, you know, you have the iPhones and stuff. So I'm sure you both have an Apple Watch, right?
No.
Probably two or three of them, right?
Nope. Yeah, no. I got that special gold edition.
Oh, yeah. I would love to have an Apple Watch, but, you know, since I don't have an iPhone, you know, what am I going to do with it?
Right.
It'll tell the time, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any of those have actual cellular receivers or whatever in them so you don't need your phone?
No, otherwise.
They don't? Okay. No. I didn't think so. That's why I got to go Android since I got an Android phone.
Sure.
But, I've been looking at some different ones. You know, Samsung has some for their line. I don't know if those are compatible with all Android devices or just, you know, Samsung ones.
Mm-hmm.
But there are different ones here. But I know we were talking about, you know, different wearables and stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, and we just to kind of give people an idea kind of where we got this conversation going from, I suppose would be good to.
I just brought it up. What are you talking
about? Yeah, you did. And we had been chatting a little bit. But last night, I don't know if you guys saw on Twitter, you know, if you guys were watching the Digital Soup Twitter feed. But
yeah, my phone was ringing.
Yeah, my friend Mac from Shutter Time with Sid and Mac, the photography show, he had posed a topic idea for us to talk about. He said he'd love to hear our thoughts on personal wearable tech, everything from Android gear, Apple Watch, Fitbits, Pebbles, and others. And it kind of started off this fun conversation on Twitter between him, myself, and a friend of ours, Brian Manier, who is also another photographer. He's out in the Michigan area, but originally from Ohio, your neck of the woods, Jay. So, but yeah, they had some good takes on it, and
go Buckeyes!
Yeah, exactly. Go Wolverines!
No, that's Michigan.
But I know Brian had said that he did not like the Apple Watch.
Really? Why?
Yeah, what specifically? He said for him, Fitbit is the way to go. He said hands down, that's his two cents. Apple Watch, he said, way too clunky. And the fact that you basically have to charge it every single night. And that to him was the deal breakers. Whereas
so Fitbit, he was specifically getting a wearable, you know, for fitness orientated, right?
I believe so, but I mean, right. I guess I don't know if, you know, partly I'm sure it's a mix of the fitness side, as well as just for day-to-day stuff, you know, getting text, getting functions, because even the newest Fitbits can get some basic, you know, features as far as notifications on text and calls and all of that.
Yeah, but their processing speed and their screen right. stuff pales in comparison to the right. Apple Watch.
And I think the Apple Watch is definitely not just a fitness tracker, right?
Yeah. Why I want one is, you know, I just, you know, I think it's cool for one, you know, I like cool stuff, mm-hmm. but I think it would be kind of cool. I mean, especially during the winter and stuff, you have your phone in your inside pocket of your jacket, your phone rings, you just look at your watch without pulling your phone out. Oh, they're calling. Or, you know, you get a notification, an email, a tweet, whatever. You just look right. at your phone. You don't have to be reaching in, especially because you're wearing gloves and everything.
Yeah.
So now you're pulling off gloves to answer the phone, or you just look at it and go, oh, it's Adam. I'll get that later.
Voice yeah, block caller.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And I don't know. I can't remember if Max said what he has. I thought he might have an Apple Watch. I had posted some screenshots and unfortunately they didn't save right. So, but you know, myself, I don't have experience with anything other than the Fitbit myself. And it was 2 mm-hmm. years ago now, sure. but I liked it. I mean, when go ahead.
Oh, my deal with wearables, and this is just me personally, I've already shelled out the money on the phone.
Right.
It's really hard for me to cost justify getting the watch because it's just a convenience accessory to the phone, which is already a convenience accessory.
Right. And, so and it, I think it, that's yeah. what the Apple
Watch is. I gave you the perfect situation where it works. Well, if you move to Antarctica, you're going to need it year round.
We almost live there in Minnesota, remember?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to move to Antarctica and I'm going to need an Apple Watch.
They found
it frozen to his cold, dead arm.
But the rest of him was okay.
Right. Well, I think
I gotta admit they are cool looking. Sorry, Dave, didn't mean to step.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was gonna say. They're very cool, and I think that the big distinction on where people are gonna fall is what you're looking at using it for, in my opinion. Because if you're looking at it strictly from a fitness perspective, I don't think you look at the Apple Watch as much. Although I think there are people that just saw it and it does the fitness functions, mm-hmm. the heart rate tracking, all of that, and they thought, oh, it does that and everything else. That's the one to get. But you look at the design of it, and I don't think it's really the best choice for that. I mean, Fitbit is phenomenal for the fitness side of it. But you can, depending on what your activities are, there's the devices from Garmin for running and, you know, all the different places. Nike has their own. I think Motorola has their own. I mean, tons of these fitness trackers out there. But the thing about the
Fitbit, they're more cost effective than the Apple Watch too.
Exactly, exactly. And the new you were mentioning, you just picked up for your wife the new Fitbit 2.
Yeah, the Charge 2. She got it for Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I mean, my experiences with the original Fitbit Charge HR, and I guess it, it opens up.
Don't mention
up...
HR, Adam's listening.
Where's that beeper again? But I think that the thing for me, it makes me think of a question, and everyone
which
wants,
one would that be?
Everyone
what
wants
problem am I solving?
Yeah, maybe. But what problem is the fitness tracker going to actually solve? Does it actually help you when you're trying to get fit, trying to lose weight, trying to get in shape? And it's kind of a bigger topic maybe, but it's an interesting question, because does that little device actually do anything for you, or is it just a marketing gimmick?
I feel that if you're, you know, if you're serious about, you know, taking a, you know, turn towards a healthy lifestyle and you're committed to it, mm-hmm. it would be a great, you know, addition to whatever else you're doing to, you know, try to get to reach your goals. But if you're getting it thinking, all right, I'm 300 pounds, I'm getting a Fitbit, this is going to get me down to 120. No, it's not going to do nothing
bit.
For you. Yeah, fat bit.
This is a dozen Fitbit.
I need to add an extra band to this.
Yeah, I was
going to
say two or three bands just to get around that wrist.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll
not
just
to
use
get
my
real.
Belt.
Strap it on your
big buckle. Hey, my name, my fat man.
I'll give you my personal experience with it, not to get too deep and too personal on it, but 2000.
Wow. Yeah, I don't want to get too personal with you, dude.
Yeah, right. Well, back in 2015, I had kind of reached my maximum capacity, let's just say. I was up for many years. I was up weighing around 340 pounds. I'm not real short. I was big.
Per thigh?
Yeah, no. Well, I was about 6'2", and you know, the common story. I was an athlete through school, and
yeah, you were just like a little round thing then, because I mean, Big Jim was 6'6". I only weighed 245.
Well, exactly, and that's what happened to me. Is I played football through school and in college and things like that, and then quit playing ball, but kept eating like I was still working out every day. And
carbs,
yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a crazy amount of stuff. blew up like that, and finally decided that enough was enough. And in May of 2015, I started getting serious about losing some of this weight. And I decided to pick up a Fitbit, and I had the Charge HR, and I got it, and it was really cool because it helped me just pay attention to what I was eating because of the app it connects with on your phone that you can log everything. It helped me keep track of my fitness levels and knowing, you know, if I was pushing myself through the day, if I was being lazy and all of that. And then what happened for me was that...
Liposuction?
No, but I worked hard from May until October. And was really pushing hard, and I'd went from 340 pounds to about 233.
Nice.
And
you know what? That might have been too fast. You need to talk to a physician. weight loss is just as bad as weight gain, they say.
It is, but I didn't do any dieting. You know, it's not like I was starving myself. I didn't go on any, even like an Atkins or anything. It was all strictly just... I walked a lot, and then I started working out, and the main thing I did
diet
was...
No pop, too, right?
Yep, I cut out all soda, and I cut out, for the most part, any fast food junk. I mean, that was my biggest vice, was I'd run through a drive-thru for breakfast, I'd run through for lunch, and then we'd eat dinner at home, you know? And so I was eating out fast food crap 2-3 times a day and drinking
those
tons
2 grand
of soda.
Max a day, just, you know.
It was bad.
Let me ask you guys this, because I'm looking on Amazon right now and I just put in smartwatches, because you know, the Apple stuff is, we're talking around $300 range and up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen or ever seen anybody else using any of these just more generic Bluetooth watches, and do they actually work?
I personally have not, no.
Okay. I haven't either. I think you get people that'll buy them, but I kind of have a feeling it's the type of thing where people buy them and then they're not satisfied, so they don't wear them.
Sure.
You know, because they really wanted the Apple Watch, couldn't maybe afford it or justify spending the money on it. And that's what I've seen, but...
What I would personally like from our listeners, all three of you, is if you could let me know if you know what Android watch you might have, or you a friend or family or whatever might have, or some alternative to the, you know, the Apple Watch for you iPhone users out there. Because, you know, I'm in the market for one. I really want to get one, you know, that, that can handle, you know, notifications of phone, text, email, all that kind of stuff. Maybe even light browsing or listening to music. Oh, hey, that would be awesome if I could listen to music from that to a Bluetooth headset while I'm mowing.
Sure.
Something like that. So, you know, tweet us, you know, go to our Facebook, let us know about that. I would love this.
No, we have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask this, since we're talking about wearables and we're kind of talking specifically about watches. Mm-hmm. Now, Google Glass failure. That was a face wearable. Nobody wanted it. Nope. Nobody's got them. You know, are there other wearable technologies out there that you guys have seen, or are there things that you think we haven't gotten to yet as far as different technologies?
I just saw there is a company. I should have it in front of me, but I just... excuse me, just came across it a little earlier, where they're making basically a new version of smart glasses. They're sunglasses, though, so they don't look as ridiculous as Google Glass. But the other one that is huge right now, Snapchat has their own, I forget what they call them, but Snapchat has their own glasses feature. Might just be Snapchat glasses. They are ridiculous looking, but
I see
Snap it. Spectacles.
Spectacles by Snap. Yep, okay. They are dumb looking, stupid, but people are loving these things.
it looks like a kid toy, actually.
It does, but people are loving it because right on the corner of the frame, they've got the camera that you can live Snapchat right there while you're doing stuff. And I don't know. To me, it seems stupid. I don't get it. It's not my thing. But
so they bought spectacles.com.
Yep.
And if you go to that site, every slide, everyone's, it looks like everybody's just completely naked wearing only the spectacles.
Right. And it's, like, they're the dumbest looking glasses. They're horrible. I mean, I don't know. I've seen them. There's a couple of YouTube vloggers that I watch their stuff. And the one, her name is Sarah Dici. It's a fun blog. She lives out in New York, and she's big in the YouTube and creator content. She actually has some actual YouTube TV series, basically. So she does a lot of stuff outside of her daily vlog. But she has a couple sets of these, and she loves them, wears them all the time. And it's just
the price is good, $130.
Yeah, but I wouldn't pay $130 for a pair of ugly sunglasses. I mean,
well, we'd have to see actually what they do for
you. How did they get my picture on this site?
Where
this guy that's naked, almost shirtless, he's all
I'm not
buff.
On the same side as you guys.
I'm just kidding.
Is he the black guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I know
it's only one.
It was that girl with freckles.
No. Oh, okay.
now I do know I brought this up in one of our past podcasts about that movie Jerusalem, which really showcased the Google Glass and what all it could do and stuff. I'm sure they exaggerated, you know, some of the stuff it could do, but it really piqued my interest. I mean, if you're just walking, you know, through a mall and you look at somebody and all of a sudden it pops up their Facebook profile with their name and everything. I mean, is that really what they did? I have no idea because I've never wore one, but you'd think that would be a major invasion of privacy there, I guess. Right.
Well, you're leading to an interesting topic with wearable technology, and technology can be hacked, and it's collecting data about you and knows things about you. So your Fitbit, I mean, that, for instance, anything that's giving off a Bluetooth signal, if that can be hit, or Wi-Fi, there are huge implications for security on this stuff. You never know.
Right. And I don't know, like, back to my Fitbit experience, I mean, to wrap that up, I mean, it tracked heart rate and everything else. I don't know what someone would ever use that for, but all that data is there. Plus what you input into the app, what you eat, everything else. I'm sure there's things that can be used for, but the thought I had with that is I wonder, with like in particular Fitbit or the fitness end of the wearables, to me it almost seems like it's a great place for people who are just trying to figure out a good routine to make a lifestyle change. It's a great tool to help them do that, because that's what I found is once I got to the point and I realized I lost the weight, I kind of had my routines established. I had broken some of those bad habits of eating, you know, junk food and stuff like that. I realized that I didn't really care how many steps I was taking anymore. I didn't really watch my heart rate anymore because I knew when I was working out and I knew I was staying active. And I just kind of felt like I didn't need it, so I stopped wearing it. And then ultimately, I gave it to my dad. And he wanted to try it out, so he was using it. And now, though, it's been a little more than a year and a half, whatever it's been. And I'm kind of thinking I'd kind of like to have one back again, just because it was kind of neat, you know, nice to have something to just help keep you on track, even though you don't always feel like you need it. So, listeners, definitely weigh in on what your thoughts are.
Weigh in,
as
no
well.
Pun intended.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't it be great if we found out that Fitbit was hacked by like Little Debbie or something, and they're we need this research data so we know who to go after.
Yeah. People don't like eating these calories before 9 a.m.
You need our snack cakes.
Right. Oh, and that's making me hungry.
All right. So, guys, I think that's going to wrap up our show for today.
It is.
Jason, already? Why don't you tell us where we can be found out on the various interwebs that are out there?
All right. You can download or stream our podcast directly at our website, digitalsoup.podbean.com. You can, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/digitalsouppodcast. Twitter, of course, is @thedigitalsoup. Leave us, comments, about our show, what you'd like us to talk about in future shows. You know, a lot of our inaccuracies, probably I've had like 4 or 5 at least in this episode. Let us know about that.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it.
And Go ahead. We do have just a quick shout out to a couple of new followers to the Facebook page. There is Paul and Michael. They are actually friends of mine that I've never met in person, online friends from a game we play online, which is very cool. And was kind of picking on them, like, you guys got to check out this show. And they actually went and checked it out. They enjoyed it, actually, in didn't give me too hard of a time about it. I thought they were gonna just laugh at me, but they really enjoyed the show. So I do want to give Paul and Mike a nice shout out and say thanks for following. And I know they were kind of spreading the word to their friends as well. So any of you guys out there following, make sure tell your friends, and we're gonna give you a shout out here as we see those names pop up.
Right on.
But I can promise you in the future, we'll give you a more exciting shout out than what Dave just did. Yeah, it was pretty bad. We'll be like, oh, we'd like to give a shout out here to Paul Gallagher. Something like that. Michael, go war!
Right.
Yeah,
see, I'm not the flashy one. You need to bring the heat, but you can read the name of our alliance if you want. But
Dave. Way too NPR, okay?
Today we're going to be giving out a special shout out to both our staff
and on our membership drive, please just donate $25 and we'll give you this sweet coffee mug.
It's like the Saturday Night Live skit, the Alec Baldwin on the NPR radio with his sweaty balls.
I haven't heard that in a while.
YouTube, people.
So, guys, where can we find you online?
You go first, Dave.
All right. You can find me over at davidswyduck.com. Links are in the show notes. That's where everything's at for my photo work, email, Twitter, all that good stuff, Instagram. So check that out if you want to see more of my photo work. Otherwise, of course, on Twitter, you can also reach out to me or the Digital Soup Podcast. We'll get messages usually that way as well.
Nice. Jason?
Well, you can check me out on my YouTube channel, which isn't very active right now, but it's still youtube.com/gameguru. Or you can, reach me at any of the, any of the ways you reach Digital Soup, I guess.
And what was your zip code again?
My phone number is 867-5309. If Jenny answers, just ask for Jason.
Of course, you guys can find me at twitter.com/starfieldescape, or at starfieldescape on Twitter.
Now, does that have something to do with Star Trek?
Yeah, no.
Well, because I remember when they would go through starfields and they were like trying to drive their ship through them, and the rocks would be hitting them. They got to get out of the starfield.
What's that word when they're trying to get away? Like, escape. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, tractor guys... beam on full.
Yeah. So now, how did you come up with the name Game Goro? Is that from Mortal Kombat?
It was. Well, I have six arms, and so I play PS4, PS3, and PS2 all at once.
Oh, nice. Man.
Right, so we better get
over here. Well, guys, I want to just say, because we talked about needing to get those corrections in from listeners, everything else, that, you know, we can't beat ourselves up too hard, right? It's human nature. We all make mistakes. And even the old saying we talk about that you've heard many times, to err is human. We've all heard that, right?
Right.
And I just want to leave a little bit of advice to people, just to remember, you know, don't beat yourself up. We're all human. To err is human. But when all else fails, just blame it on your computer. That's it.
Are we cutting there? I didn't know what we were doing.
Well, when he said to err is human, I thought, yeah, tell that to Michael Jordan.
That's it, guys. That was my lame advice for the end of the day.
All right, we'll see you all next week. Same Digital Soup time. Same Digital Soup channel.
Do you want another quick lame ending?
Yes, go.
Okay, so this time of year, springtime, people get sick, right? And just like your mother always said, chicken soup is good for the soul. And much like chicken soup, Digital Soup will give you lots of food for thought and a healthy dose of humor. So make sure, come back here next week, check out the Digital Soup podcast, and we appreciate you guys following along. Have a great week, guys. Take care, and we'll see you then.
Bye, everybody.
Later, Gators.